Today's episode brought to you by Stain Be Gone.
Hey, Ken, have you ever been stuck in traffic?
Yeah.
Don't you hate being stuck in traffic?
Oh, yeah.
Well, now you can with the all-new Stain Be Gone.
What?
Hanging out in Grandma's basement, having fun with all of our friends. You can't spell basement without men, and you gotta keep it down when she's going to bed. Yeah, hanging out in Grandma's basement.
So Derek over here has a rough voice. I just wanted to point that out. That's why it sounds like he's smiling a very... small sucking.
That's why I'm sucking on Laws right now.
Yeah.
Oh, we should probably welcome everyone to Grandma's Basement.
Oh, wait.
Welcome everyone to Grandma's Basement.
Hello, hello, hello.
Who are you?
Derek Reinfried.
No, wait.
Who are you?
Come on. Syllabically.
What is your name?
Who are you?
I'm Kent.
Okay. His last name is Taylor, so you can look him up.
Hey, if you Google facebook.kent.taylor.info,
he'll be there. We are joined by Evan Okeson.
Yes.
Yeah.
Brett Wise will be in studio momentarily.
So en route.
Maybe.
Until then, we'll just take a couple moments of silence, maybe.
Yeah. Danny boy.
All right, well, he'll be here.
Wait, a moment of silence for Brett not being here, or a moment of silence for the tragedies that have befallen us as of late?
That's a hard one to, like, both?
Let's start with Brett.
Okay. Well, let me apologize first for my laws.
Lozenge?
Yeah, my zinge. Sorry, my voice is rough, so I'm sucking on laws right now. And I'm not talking about my boyfriend from Greece.
He's not dating anyone named Laz.
Sugar daddy from Greece.
But yeah, what do you mean you want to talk about Brett?
I mean, like, where is he?
He's coming.
I mean, like, to where the is studio. Anybody, man?
I know, but I'm trying to, like, where
are we, man?
Where is he?
Well,
not where is he?
He's probably at the gas station. Picking up a Mountain Dew? No, he doesn't drink Mountain Dew, does he? What does he
drink?
I
don't know. When's the last time you asked him about his soda preferences?
I think he drinks water and beer and Klarbrewin.
Together or separately or in...
God, I hope they're separate.
But the right hand holds the beer, the left hand holds the water.
I don't think he's a mixer guy. I think he drinks one at a time. Like, I like to have, like, three beverages open normally. Not that guy. You know, you don't...
Do you, like, you put a straw in each one and drink
no,
them all
but
at the
I like
same
having
time?
My coffee. Like, I like having my water and then, you know, whatever crazy concoction I got going on.
So that standard of coffee and water can be used in different situations correctly.
Yes.
You're correct.
That is correct.
Yes. So you have a wild card drink.
It might be like my Klarbrewin, or it might be like a mixed drink or a wine or whatever, but yeah.
I would hope that depends on the time of day.
90%. Well, I mean, 90% of the time that would be going on here, but for some reason I only have water, and I had this. That was my wild card. Oh, whatever.
Energy drink.
Yeah. Orchata energy drink.
Well, there you go.
It was okay. That's pretty wild, man. So you want to talk about current affairs, Kent? Let me tell you, the liberal media, don't let the liberal media tell you.
Oh, no, don't let the liberal media tell you that sleeping around is fun.
Oh, you want to talk about your book?
Oh, yes. The book that...
Fantastic.
It's not my book.
Read,
I mean, it's not my book.
We got to wait till Brett's here. I want to read that with him. No.
So teaser for this fantastic
this
little
Evan.
Book.
Hold on a sec, because... We have the book.
Yes.
Not only do we have the book,
yes.
But we also have the author. He's holding out until Brett shows up.
Awesome.
Yeah, he's getting, I think he's
let's introduce
snacking
this
currently in the green room right now.
Yeah.
We do have a book before us titled The Sexual Harmony in Marriage by the one, the only Oliver M. Butterfield.
You'll find...
Oh, there is an introduction too. No, let's get into this. What happened? I've been holding off on. You've been telling me about this book.
I've been discussing it, and please. I came into contact with the author of the book, who's here, and I think we should wait.
Okay. Fine. You're going to tease me like
so
that.
So, guns. Don't guns bother in me. America, everybody.
Guns
in America.
All right. Where do you want to start with this one? Because I feel like there's a lot of... We could come at this from many different angles right now.
All
right.
Let me start you out with this one.
All right.
Drop us some knowledge.
I play Call of Duty. Guns are pretty cool. What do you say about that?
Well, I mean, I could say in your fantasy world, you know, that guns are acceptable. No, I don't know. I own two guns. I don't really use them. They're just sitting in my closet. And somebody could argue, well, why do you even have them then? But, you know, I bought them when I was like 18, which was like cool because I was like, all right, I can buy guns. They're really shitty. I barely use them. But I don't know. I mean,
are they ready and capable in... The reason that a lot of people choose to have them.
Do you
keep the guns that you own in a situation of preparedness for when they're
like loaded
to be used
and everything?
For
no.
Why you have one?
No. And even if I did, they suck.
And you should sell them for money.
No,
well,
I mean,
they were recreational then, I assume. I mean, did you maybe go target shooting with
them?
Yeah,
and we do once in a while, like, you know, with...
Right.
With some family and stuff, we'll go out, just, shoot the clay pigeons or whatever in the woods and, like, whatever, that's it. That's the extent of it.
That's cool. But, I'm just joking around.
And it's a lot of fun. No, but I know. And I read on Facebook, you know, a lot, like, somebody's like, if you own guns and you're a gun nut or enthusiast or whatever, you believe that for a second you should have guns, unfriend me now. Like, I'm just like, that's a little extreme. I mean, yes, there are crazy people out there, but I...
But this is the thing with what you just said. That's a super far, like, left-wing thing to say. That's not a moderate-thinking person thing to say. Nobody says that everyone, if you have a gun, don't be my friend. That is the stupidest fucking thing.
But it's because that school, that instant, you know, there was, what is that school around here that just had, you know, they found that kid's, or they found a gun in his backpack, remember?
That.
Mm-hmm. And so a couple...
The kid was 15, wasn't he? I 16, mean,
yeah, something like that. But parents of the young kids were like, that had their... Because they were it was like a shared space or whatever, you know, and they're like 4-year-olds and 5-year-olds there or whatever. And like,
right.
You know, I can understand why they would be freaked out that this just happened to them. And now they're mad, you know, about people that own guns, letting kids get access to that. But it's still kind of like, I don't know, to just say that, like, no, I can't be friends with you if you own or like you believe that we should have some sort of gun rights. I mean,
well,
I know because their life was, you know, could have been in danger.
Well,
I think that's a
knee-jerk reaction. I mean, that's like seeing something absolutely horrific and you do a total recoil. I mean, you can't, you know, your kid is at a place that you can't control. You technically can't control what goes on. You know, you're separate from your child for 8 hours of the day. And you find out that they came really close to being one of these things that you see on TV. I understand it. I definitely do, and I feel like maybe those people will get over it with time. But it's understandable that they would react in such an extreme way. But, I mean, I too own a gun. I grew up with guns. My dad's a hunter. I mean, he bought me a shotgun. I got a shotgun from one of my birthdays. It was awesome. Signed me up for a week-long skeet shooting class. That was fantastic. Yeah. I mean, I was my shoulder was bruised for a couple of weeks after that. But I mean, it was one of those things where I mean, I've had the experience. I've handled a gun. I know how to handle a gun. And really, my opinion is I'm all for people owning weapons as long as they can prove that they are capable of safely handling the weapon. I mean, I really do advocate for the knowledge of guns, because I mean it's just like drugs, man. The people that are illegally involved with drugs, they're doing it illegally. They don't give a fuck about the laws. That's obvious. Yeah. Same thing can be said for the people that are running guns, that are getting guns, rubbing the serial numbers off of them, all sure, of these sure. other crazy things. I mean, look at it this way. You can screen, like, you can 3D screen print a gun now. Like, you can right. you can get and download models to make a plastic gun that will work not for very long.
Like, three but you can someone
shoot,
needs it.
You can shoot, like, you know,
you
a clip of something.
To
I mean,
make
it,
a point.
And then yeah. those are untraceable. I mean, and that's the thing is that it's like, it doesn't matter if something's legal or illegal, because the best way to stop people from doing this is that they know about it. I think too many people
See, that,
are too separated from guns.
What you're talking about is such a reasonable thing that a good amount of people are talking about, but when this happens, it's either one side or the fucking other.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
The
no,
ones
that's,
who want yes, everyone to yes. have guns are the ones who want nobody to have guns. And that's fucking stupid.
Well, I do have to ask. I don't, we should know these statistics.
Right?
Probably. Maybe you do know. Are there.
I'm not
like,
good with numbers.
I mean, obviously, there's been an increase in, you know, in violence, you know, and we're seeing so many public shootings and things lately. But is there like a huge increase in the amount of guns out there right now, like compared to? I know there's a lot
yes,
of guns, but
there, I mean, people like, on average. I mean, and I don't know the exact numbers, but I do know that people on average these days own more guns, and the biggest thing is that they don't want the government to know that they have them, or at least not to know exactly what they have. They've pulled people and they've asked them, you know, would you be okay with, like a registry or a,
and they say
you know,
no.
Well, right. They say no to
it's
the registry,
compromise.
But they still want the, you know, the super in-depth background yeah. checks. But how do you background check somebody who hasn't
but
given you all the information?
The thing with what you just said is something I heard recently and something. You know, it's like, at what point do we get down to where it's just a compromise? So in this situation, it's like, yes, we agree, universal background checks. The compromise is, yes, the government has a good idea of what you have. Isn't that what we're trying to need to get to, a compromise? It's like, no one side is ever going to be happy on a solution that is going to work for everybody equally, but not as much as it, you know. What I'm
yeah, no,
say.
I know what you're saying, but do you think limiting it, I mean, because I know there's like, there's like a waiting period, you know, to get a handgun. I don't know what it is for everything else. Now I've obviously bought one in a while, but like,
well, that whole thing I think is state related to state laws,
which I mean, and it makes sense. Cause if somebody is having, you know, It could prevent somebody from walking into the store some night and just being like, man, I need
well,
this gun.
Well, the whole
to
waiting it. Period yeah. thing, I think, is more like if someone comes in and buys, I need 10,000 rounds of, you know, whatever fucking assault rifle ammo or an assault gun just I honestly only know a little bit about this. That's why I don't really like to take a huge stand on a lot of it, because I learn a lot about it and...
So I think I have some up, you know, fairly up to date
okay.
statistics
well,
here.
Let me say one thing to Kent though about that. You know what I guess I kind of think about, and I do side with the idea of more control on it. As I mean, yeah, somebody will always argue, you know, like, oh, well, what about my concealed carry? You know, I need to have my gun. So if somebody else has theirs, but there's probably a better statistic, but it seems to me like 9 times out of 10, the concealed carry person like doesn't seem to be on scene when there's like a shooting happening, you know. It's like more often
yeah I know
cases,
but that
somebody
plays
using
into
it for
the
bags.
Argument that the more people we tell to have guns is it, that plays into that. It's like
Wild
think
what?
Of every scenario where this happened. It's almost everywhere, so they're basically calling for people to literally be armed everywhere we go.
It's like the Wild West.
Well, I heard actually an interesting spin on this. The numbers are fairly low for concealed carry right now. They're low enough that, statistically speaking, you can be in a space and nobody there will be concealed carry. I mean, and that's the fact of the matter, that these people who are shooting these places up, the one thing that all these places have in common is that there was nobody there with a weapon other than the active shooter. And that is the biggest selling point for concealed carry. And I'll be completely honest with you, I am totally okay with concealed carry, as long as you can prove that you've been through the classes and you know how to handle the firearm, I said before. Now, the thing that they're pushing for is, I believe the number is actually right now as low as, I mean, under 6%. Okay? That's not even a 1 in 10.
All right.
And so you look at them trying to push for, even if it gets up to 10, 12, 15% of the population's concealed carrying, you can look at a group of 10 people and say, you know what? Two of you guys are probably carrying right now. And that is a very good, I mean, that's a good bet against these active shooters. You're saying that if there's the possibility, even just the little bit of an inkling, that somebody in that room that this person is about to open up on has a gun on them, they might not do it. There's enough doubt there that they won't get away with it. They might not.
See,
that's
a good point.
I know what you're talking about, but what bothers me the most about this whole thing is how, what you're saying I agree with, but why does this have to be a standard? When did this start being a huge problem, and what the fuck happened?
Obviously, enough has happened where it's now becoming a major concern,
like,
you know?
That's the thing. Like, I agree. If we have to change and we have to set a new standard, that's a good, justifiable way to do it.
For sure.
I mean,
but it didn't used to be that way. There was something going on back then that didn't lead to whatever's causing this. And again, I don't think it has to do with guns, but it does have to do with accessibility.
So, yeah, well, the accessibility thing, and this kind of actually goes back to...
They just play into each other.
Well, right, and the accessibility thing, too, that goes back to when you were saying people are going to do illegal things if they can't. I mean, if we imagine a world where all of our guns were taken away, like, you can't buy them anymore, it's completely illegal to own or possess a gun unless you're, like, military or police or something. If that were to happen, the people that want to get them are still going to find ways to get them. And then everyone, you know, they'll have them somehow.
You can go to Home
Depot
and buy a pipe, you know, just a long hollow piece of metal and a few other accessories, and you can build a gun. I mean, it's
right.
People will find a way to do it, or they'll open up a shop somewhere and produce them, you know.
What's after guns then? Okay. There's no laws. Like,
I'm trying to go back to what causes people to... This is what where I'm trying to get to. Guns are cool because they're fun to shoot for fun, for sports.
Sure.
It's fun to hunt. I don't get self-defense because I'm not fucking afraid of the world. That's just me. I get them as a hobby and sportsman and providing for yourself and stuff like that, but who needs a fucking...
Right. Okay. I see what you're saying. Yeah. Yeah. Like, no, I see what you're saying. You're saying, like, we should be talking about, like, thinking about, why is this becoming such a big deal in our culture? Like, what? It's not like we can blame this on Doom, like they did for Columbine, you know, where they're like Marilyn Manson.
Sorry, I kind of got off on a tangent, but basically, these back in the day, what the fuck? Why weren't there mass shootings? Why didn't people want freaking miniguns? Like, why is everyone getting so scared that they have to hoard weapons that you don't use for hunting? It all leads back to me as, like, anti-government paranoids.
I've heard theories that it's because the people are unhappy, and it's really an issue on our entire country's stance on mental illness and things of that nature that would compel somebody to commit these heinous acts. I mean, what we're looking at is a situation normally where, and this is absolutely regardless of race, creed, color, whatever you want to call it, they're an unhappy individual. Boil them down to just being a person, and they're unhappy. They've been pushed to the brink of their, like, their breaking point. They're at the edge of the cliff, and they are pushed over and they go in and they start doing this. I mean, the recent one where was upwards of, I mean, what was it, 14 to 16 people?
14 to 21.
Something like that. This guy had been there beforehand. Something happened where he left and then came back and opened fire. I mean, there's an instance of a gentleman who walked into his college's classroom, set the bag on the table, told them what he was going to do. I mean, this is somebody who is not in their right mind.
No, what you're talking about is these, I guess you call it radicalization or whatever, but it's like people here, what's happening specifically with this last one. It sounds like, and I don't like talking about like we know all the things, but it sounds like it was a guy that, like you said, was just desperate. And then now we live in an age of technology, so when you're frustrated, it's like, God, I need to go find someone who agrees with me to calm me the fuck down. Mm-hmm. And that's what happens. You find people that are like, oh, all this shit's fucking, oh, everyone pisses me off at work. And it's like, yeah. And then they hook you on some other form of thinking, possibly, or just, you know, it's just like, there's a niche for everything on the internet.
True. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, and
you're going to find it in your most desperate moments.
Well, I mean, look at how you know, ISIL is finding people. It's completely over the internet. I mean, there was the whole thing where they planned all those bombings using fucking PlayStations, right? I mean, like, these guys are utilizing the technology, and it's, I mean, I still stand that I think the internet's a wonderful thing because we're all connected. The only problem is that there's no, I mean, lack of understanding runs incredibly deep. Well, yeah. I mean,
that's
it's
the thing. It's like we were just thrown about us this tool that we understood it for what it was at first, and it just created this other thing. A lot of bad things have happened because of it, but more good things. And I think it's like a process. You kind of got to weed out the bad aspects of it. There's always going to be bad aspects to everything.
Well, I think the good thing is that it gets the entire world talking about it. I mean, we're sitting here talking about gun control in America. We're not the only ones.
Right.
Over in Europe, they're talking about it because it is an issue. It's a worldwide issue. It's the whole countrywide economic issue. And, I mean, it's a social issue, too.
Well, right. You know? But, I mean, it isn't just the guns, too. I mean, it's like you said with, you know, mental illness or people being pushed to their limit, and now this is how they express it. I mean, I almost wonder if it's, you see the success from doing this. Like, if you're already have this seed kind of planted and you're like, I'm thinking about, I want to do this. And then you keep seeing all these other people that do it. And it's like, this person successfully killed all these people. And then they're like, man, this works. All you have to do is just go in, you know, and do it. I mean, and then I also
fucked up.
I know, but I mean, I also wonder if there's almost like this. I mean, people already have a need. I mean, it's like almost in our nature to want to be heard and be famous. That's why, like, you know, Twitter and, you know, everything, you put something out there and you're like, heard.
Well, that's the thing.
I think you want to go in. People might see this thing and they're like, oh man, I could be the next, like, John Wayne
Media
Gacy.
Sensationalism,
you know?
Yeah, is absolutely terrible.
I could be this. I'll finally be someone. You know, I mean, it could be that too.
This is like one of my theories on why I think ISIS is what it is. It's a fucking little midget off in the fuck small little. Damn it!
Why do you think we're midgets?
It's just a little blip, an entire thing, but because of their apparatus of fear, they're making themselves out to be a giant. And you know how that happens? American media doesn't help. Because it's like a serial killer who is getting...
A serial killer? Should we...
You know what I'm saying? Like when a serial killer kills someone, sees it on the news.
Let's
blah, blah, blah.
Well, yeah, we'll get back to that. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back, talk to you guys. Brett's going to be here. We also have... renowned, famous author.
Oliver Butters Nuts.
That's the guy. See you then.
And more of Grandma's Basement after this message from our sponsor.
Hey, Kent, do you ever ride the elevator at work?
No, I take the stairs because...
When you're on that elevator, do you ever have to bust ass?
Well, yeah, on the stairs...
Well, now you can with the all-new Bust Ass Pass.
What is that?
I'm glad you asked. The Bust Ass Pass is a great new product that obligates everyone within an 8-foot radius of you to clear out so you can bust ass comfortably without any awkward moments or offensive odors.
Oh, okay.
And for those of you who need a little more room, you can upgrade to the Bust Ass Pass Gold, which requires everyone to clear the elevator instantly for your comfort.
But how are they going to get on the elevator? I mean, just like...
That's not my problem.
Well, does it work on stairs?
Of course! It works for anybody taking the elevator straight to the top!
Welcome back to Grandma's Basement, everybody.
We took a break.
Yeah, we did.
I wonder why.
We had to hear that ad.
Well, that was a good ad.
Now we are joined by Brett Wise.
Hello.
Hey, man. We were talking about guns and gun safety and gun control. Do you want to add anything, even though you have no idea what we said?
I don't know. I like guns.
Okay.
We can cool. Solid argument. Solid argument.
Well,
all right.
There's the input. Let's
next subject.
You know what makes me think of guns?
What, Ken?
What makes you think of guns, Kent?
He's just so...
Sexual harmony in marriage, boys.
He lined up okay. A good one, all right.
So...
What do you have?
Sneaking around upstairs... Grandma's shit.
What? Oh,
you know.
Sure.
Oh, you found this around grandma's
found this, like, old you, school book,
wait,
dude.
Wait. You went through grandma's stuff when she was sleeping.
I don't want to know anything else that she has.
Don't tell me more. I don't want to be held liable.
You're a weird fuck.
Hey.
Okay.
All right.
So tell us about this.
I found this book that seems as old as grandma.
Okay.
Because, well, it's called something... I'll tell you what it's called.
Tell me. I'm on the edge
of my seat.
Would
you say it?
Sexual harmony and marriage.
That's weird. Whoa. The name of the book made you think of what you had said guns make you think of.
That's really
so crazy.
Because there's nothing more secure
than a healthy sexual relationship in a marriage.
Or a harmonious marriage.
Right. Okay. And anyway.
All right. I found this book. Grandma's old, near death. So this is old too. This book is old.
Okay. I don't care that the book's old.
So I did what some did tracking
do?
Down.
Okay.
All right. So sexual harmony and marriage. I went on to google.internet. And then I was like, all right, this Oliver M. Butterfield guy,
the author.
I guess. But it's introduced by Nadina Kevin.
Something. Okay.
So anyways, yeah, okay. I found this Butterfield guy. Oliver M., to be clear. And he's here to read some passages from his newly released...
Is he the guy that was eating all the snacks?
I mean, he was over there.
Going to town. Okay.
But no, the reason why he's here is because his book is being released on Amazon digital.
Okay, well I'll look forward to reading that.
So we brought him here to just
talk about his book.
Read some excerpt. Right. Hey, Oliver M. Butterfield, everybody.
well, hello. Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you for having me.
Hey, how is it going, Oliver Butterfield?
It's a pleasure to have you on our show.
Well, I'm on the internet now, and that's really quite something, I tell you what. For an old Southern man like myself, you know, it's something I just don't understand. It frankly scares me.
Do they not have the internet in the Southern?
Well, I mean...
In the Southern.
We've got it, but not fully understanding of it, you see, gentlemen. What I do understand, though, my boys, what I do understand, though, is the sexual harmony in marriage, which is exactly how I titled this book, because, well, you see, it's good for a man and a woman to lay together comfortably with each other, one another, in, as I like to call, coitus, yes.
Can we hear a passage?
Well, I mean, what...
Something tasty, something that we need to know as men.
How about you give us a passage and then you relate to your entire story based on the passage that you just read of how you wrote this book?
Well, I do believe that the thing for the man is going to be the premature ejaculation. Now, I know that's very hard to hear, boys. I really know that it is. But it's really important that we address this issue as it affects many men in the beginnings of a healthy relationship and marriage. And you see, it can lead down the road of troubles, as it were. Now, I'd like to say that, especially during the early days of marriage, that a man is so aroused and is... You know, it seems to be the proper pitch, as I like to say, of the sexual readiness. Yes, the sexual readiness, and he himself is so highly stirred, as it were, in the ideas of his own orgasm taking place before he attempts the penetration. But you see, sometimes that's exactly what happens, gentlemen, is that he doesn't even make it inside.
Well, thank you for letting us know about that. That was...
All of your shit at the gates,
this is
right?
Simply a mental affliction, gentlemen. There was nothing here that would be, well, physical as it were. Now, I recommend that after a month, if this continues, that you do seek a physician's help.
Oh, well, interesting. Mr. Butterfield, may I place my eyes upon your book?
Indeed.
Thank you.
Head book.
I would like some explanation on a couple things here. Oh, yes. excuse me. This segment is titled The Movements.
Oh, yes, a quite stirring little part of the book there.
Okay. So, I guess I was curious. It says here, after the penis has been inserted to its full length into the vagina, it is usually best for the husband to rest a bit before allowing himself to make the instinctive in and out movements which usually follow.
I just want to point out, usually.
That's what I was curious. What, other than that being usual, what is the other option? Like a side to side or a twist?
Well, depending on the position that you and the fine young lady have decided upon, sometimes the in-out motion is just not adequate. Most times you can have her just rubbing around up in there with you inside, and... Really, the going in fully is to every man's capability, of course.
Mr. Butterfield, wow, you're really giving me some great advice here.
There is a fine part in that book, a good section about different positions that you can take with your lady.
Brett over here is actually a newlywed. Would you recommend?
Brett, is there anything Uncle Chester Butterfield can tell you
about sex?
You look like a fine young gentleman sitting over there by yourself. I'm sure your wife is quite a catch as well.
she is. It's pretty awesome. You know, we have a good time. It's great.
Oh, well, if you ever need any help, I'd be more than happy to come over and offer some instruction to you and the fine missus.
Are you like a bedside coach?
Hey, Mr. Butterfield, I heard you have some commandments at the end of your book. It's on the last page of the book. You should read. It's called Marriage Wisdom. You remember when you put it there and you wrote it there? It's at the very end. You're getting there.
Yes, I do remember that quite well.
It's almost like you have it memorized.
Yeah, that's so weird.
Well, gentlemen, you need to understand that I'm an aging man. Sometimes I don't fully remember things that I've written down.
And you probably had so much sex, too. Like, it's just insane.
Oh, insatiable amounts of coitus. Now, here's some marriage wisdom from the old Chester Butterfield, Ph.D. Don't ever both get angry at the same time. Never talk at one another, either alone or in company. Never speak loudly to one another unless their house is on fire.
On fire!
Never find fault unless it is perfectly certain that there has been a fault. And always speak lovingly. Never taunt about a mistake. Never make remarks at the expense of one another. Here's a meanness. Never part for a day without loving words to think of during absence. Always have the woman in your thoughts. Remember that, Brett.
Are you taking notes, Brett?
Sure.
Never meet without loving welcome. Never let the sun go down upon any anger or grievance. That's never going to bed angry.
But that's only one of you.
Let me clarify, though,
gentlemen.
You can go to bed angry, but trust me, never go to sleep angry. If you know what I'm saying. Never let any fault you have committed go by until you have frankly confessed it and asked forgiveness.
This is actually pretty. Some of this is pretty good.
Never forget the happy hours of
early
love.
Some of it's decent.
Go on.
And lastly, never sigh over what might have been, but make the best of what is. Or as those words say, love the one you're with, gentlemen.
What was number 9 again? Could I hear that again?
Never let the sun go down upon any anger or grievance.
No, that wasn't the one. What was the one about early love?
Number 11, never forget the happy hours of early love.
All right.
Early love, baby.
Man, that sounds like a good quote line in a song. Well, thank you for reading those to us.
Of course, Derek.
Oh, yeah. Thank you for coming from where I found you.
Amazon?
I just... Very happy downloaded to be here, him from Amazon.
Brett, I wish you all the luck in your new marriage, my boy. And hopefully this book will help you and the missus have some wonderful, wonderful coitus experiences.
You really like that word coitus. I hear you say it. You repeat it over and over again in that book.
Well, it is such a beautiful word, much like the word chlamydia. If it wasn't such a heinous thing, I think I'd name my daughter after
it. Do you think it's because it begins with K?
No, chlamydia is a beautiful... Persyphilis?
Chlamydia. Coitus.
You also like the word frigidity. You like,
well,
you like to speak
you see,
about that.
Here's something that's very, very important that the women must also keep in mind. You see, for a man, sex is a very, very opening experience. In fact, for both the parties involved, there's a lot going on. Now, the woman can be... The woman can be, as we like to call, frigid. Now, this is another mental issue in the woman where she seems uninterested in her husband's sexual advances.
Okay. Well, now we know what that is.
Well, I do. You're not supposed like to yell.
But I would like to say, gentlemen, that sometimes that affliction can be of a physical manner. Somebody is not totally okay with what's going on here.
So that sounds like a sexual assault, almost?
Well.
So you're saying...
This is in a loving, married couple. This is not just out on the street with any old Jack and Nancy.
No,
just hopping on top of each other, clawing and pawing at their God-given
you married
dirty...
her!
No, I'm sorry, gentlemen.
Okay, well, Brett, do you have any follow-up questions to Dr. Butterfield?
Let me see that book.
Well, there you have it.
Guys, do you just want to take a moment? We'll let Brett read through this book. It's considerably short for a book.
People are listening,
which is kind of nice.
So we can't just stop talking.
Why? Well, we got to read through the book. They'll understand.
To comment on the shortness of it, it's best to write with a sort of precision, you see.
Wait,
The problem is very quite simple to solve.
Who invited
it just takes commitment.
To actually hang out? He's supposed to talk about his book.
I don't know.
I don't know. It's kind of... There's a lot going on here.
I feel like I don't have enough time to read it.
But I mean, if you wanted me to come over and preach to you and the missus, that would be totally fine.
Can you give us an example of how you would, a sample coaching, bedside coaching that you would do?
Well, you see, I like to take a very hands-on approach. I feel that if everybody is in the moment together that it creates a very healthy environment for sexual copulation to take place. Now, the foreplay is very important, and usually that is just verbal, a lot of pointing, a lot of miming gestures.
I've got a question.
Yes, Brett?
How are you still alive? It says here you were born in 1891, and my watch says that was like 100 and...
Years
100?
Ago.
Excellent question, Brett.
24 years ago? 124 years?
I think he just told us, Brett.
Oh, okay.
If you follow what I tell you in sexual harmony in a marriage, then you will also live very long because love is what keeps us going strong.
Don't forget about that early morning love or whatever.
Yeah, the early morning love.
But
you basically are just, you wrote this book so you can have threesomes.
Basically.
All right. Yeah.
Well, I got to high five you on that one because that's fucking good thinking, son. That was
high
shitty.
Five again. Yes.
We should do it closer to the mic next time.
I think you should do it close to the mic separately. Both clap your hands at your mic.
Good. I'm glad we could spend all that time working on high five claps.
Ooh, if you only were here to see this.
Well, I guess that Brett just got to some good stuff in there. Well, I think that's all I have for you. I would like to thank you for being on our show today. It was a pleasure.
It was my absolute most wonderful pleasure to be here with you boys in Grandma's basement. God bless Grandma. In fact, I think I might go do some coaching upstairs if you don't mind much.
Oh, thank you.
You have a good evening.
I mean, you should probably leave because, Evan was in the bathroom for a long time. So,
if you would like to get in touch with us, we do have websites, Facebooks, Twitters, all the jazz. We have an email. You should please email us with any comments, unless they're negative. We don't like to cry. Well, we'll take it.
No, I want the negative
one. Okay, send all the bad ones to Kent.
We can be on Twitter at some point. I got an account.
All right, so we'll be there. So look us up, Grandma's Basement or Grandma's Basement Show. We have holidays coming up, so we might be off the air for a little bit, but we'll be right back on season two.
Definitely going to be season two.
Season two.
Coming spring 2016, Grandma's Basement season two.
That's what it is.
Oh, it's going to be so green.
Brett, anything else?
Nah, dog.
We'll also see Brett more in season two, I think. Hopefully.
Oh, yeah.
Now that he's married and in pleasure of the book.
Once he gets that
maybe
book.
You should hang on to that for a little while, huh? It might,
We're never going to see him again.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Well, thank you for listening, and we look forward to talking to you next year. Peace.
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 Goodbye. I like queso.